Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with General John Handy, Commander of the United States Transportation Command. And joining us in our conversation is Chuck Proe.
General Handy, Transcom was recently designated as a distribution process owner for the entire DOD distribution process. What impact is this having on the effectiveness of DOD logistics?
Well, I'd like to start out, Chuck, by saying I think we've had an incredibly positive impact, and that's easy to say and perhaps need some explanation why I would say that. I say it's easy because prior to September of 2003, when the Secretary of Defense designated Transcom and its commander as the distribution process owner, there was no distribution process owner for the Department of Defense. And I tell people the analogy that if you had a problem with the DOD supply chain, to use the commercial term, and wanted to go find someone that you could complain to or talk about, you'd have to go either to a stovepipe of a service or the Defense Logistics Agency or some piece of that supply chain. And you might run around the country for weeks or months trying to find who it is that's working your problem. Now, I exaggerated to make my point, of course. But with that designation by the Secretary of Defense, if nothing else, it put that finger right in the chest of U.S. Transportation Command as a combatant commander, and the commander himself as the DPO. It's very personal in the designation, the command and the commander. And it tells people that now instead of a myriad of people responsible for supply chain management, there's one entity. And the reason I say it's fairly easy, it's not. This is tough business. But just designating someone in charge, an organization in charge, gave people of all ilks, all logisticians, all transporters, whatever the case may be, a battle flag to rally around. And it says, of all the problems we're facing out there, now we have someone who really is in charge. Let's fix those problems. And so what we've seen since the September designation is a rush of people with great ideas, innovations, both in the service and in commercial entities out there, that have great ideas and great support systems to help solve our internal problems. And so a lot of the low-hanging fruit we've been able to pick up upon is by virtue of just that designation. It gave us enough to go on that we're able to launch out and do something about it. Here's a key point. Transcom's role prior to that designation, if I use the cartoon language for it, was always fort to port, meaning from some fixed DOD facility in the continental United States or Europe or wherever the assets were located, to a port, either a seaport or an aerial port, in an area of operations, somewhere offshore, somewhere else in the world. Fort to port. And so it meant that we had no responsibilities back towards the factory or the industrial base of the United States, and no responsibilities past landing at an airport, disgorging our cargo, and saying, notionally, have a nice day to the people on the ground. Or at a seaport, same thing. Here's your cargo. Have a nice day. That designation now means factory to foxhole. Again, I'm using somewhat cartoon language, but it makes my point. Our responsibilities for that supply chain, factory to foxhole. Now, that foxhole is by definition some point of consumption well into the theater to be determined, but you want to get that visibility and asset knowledge as far that direction as you can, because it's a two-way stream that we're talking about. It's not only pushing supplies and deployment stuff to the theater, it's redeployment and it's retrograde of reparables or what else you're trying to bring home. Giving us those responsibilities gave us the visibility in there, and there was a lot of low-hanging fruit at both ends for us to pick up. And so we've seen a lot of progress in the first 6 or 7 months of this designation, and I use that term because we actually initiated the first step in January of 2004, to now that we've reaped $300 million worth of identifiable savings out of that supply chain by either leaning it out or improving processes, both deployment or sustainment. And so it's a rather dramatic designation that we've achieved in this very short period of time based on those authorities of September 2003.
That is a tremendous change. And anyone who's close to the current theater realizes that it has been a very substantial change. In the last segment, you discussed the role of your commercial providers. How is the role of your commercial providers changing under the DPO designation?
Well, actually, the role, the gross role of moving things or sustaining things has not changed all that much. Where you see the most dramatic improvement and change, not just in the commercial world but with ourselves, is in information technology. If you look at commercial entities, they tend to have fairly, for the most case, fairly robust IT systems that support their businesses. If you look within the DoD and Transcom specifically, we have fairly robust information technology systems. But those two are not connected, industry to government, for the most part. If you look at the theater of operations, it was not and is not today a robust information technology area. And so what commerce has brought to the table with this designation is our ability to manage that IT, that information systems support to the Department of Defense, and encourage, and in some cases actually through contractual demands, get those linkages from commerce. It says, you know, from factory to the transportation node, we need to know and have visibility over what's happening. We provide visibility through the Global Transportation Network while we have it under our control, and we've pushed IT systems into the theater of operations. Now, that notion gives us some visibility, gives the warfighter some visibility, but also lets the, potentially, lets the industrial base have visibility into consumption data in the theater of operations, whether it's beans and bullets or water or whatever the case may be. That's critical to how efficiently and effectively we can operate in the world of tomorrow. Now, don't anyone believe that we have solved this problem. We're just scratching the surface and reaping that low-hanging fruit, as I call it, and need a lot of support from industry, a lot of innovation from industry. That's what's changed. That's the great impact is in that information technology capability that our partners bring to the fight.
It's interesting you brought up information technology because I'd like to ask you more about that, especially as I understand that Transcom has been designated as the Logistics IT System Portfolio Manager. Could you tell us what that means, and just in terms of, as you were describing, worldwide technology, I couldn't help but wonder the size of those systems and even the many different types that encompasses.
You're absolutely right, Paul. There is, within the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Defense, there are domains. There is a logistics domain. Within the logistics domain is the distribution domain. My J6, my communications, my IT, my CIO is responsible for, has been given the authority, vested in Transcom, but the J6 people specifically, the authority for the distribution domain management. Now, what that really means is, if you go out in the DoD today, and we have, and survey the distribution systems of the Department of Defense. This may surprise some people. It might not surprise folks. There are over 500 systems that we've identified today. Now, what that means is that folks have worked for years building their own, in some cases, very surgical, very stovepipe systems to some that are very broad-based and wide, but there are 500 of them out there, perhaps duplicating endeavors, perhaps so stovepipe that there's not a lot of sharing of information. And so what our task has become is not to take the number 500 and make it smaller. It is to look at the architecture, more importantly, the business processes that we exercise in the Department of Defense. Lean out those business processes that relate to distribution management, and then look at the IT systems that ought to support that process and migrate legacy systems and perhaps overlay new systems to where we get to the point that the Department of Defense distribution management system is far fewer legacy systems, easier to maintain, more modernized, more information rich than what we have today. And that's a key responsibility that we've achieved within this last year, getting that designation tied to the DPO that says, you've got it now, folks, do something about it. And we intend to do that.
You just described briefly the role of technology, process, and how they integrate. Many departments and agencies are establishing enterprise architectures. Where is Transcom in this process, and where do you see that going in the near future?
Our first endeavor from an ERP solution is our financial management system. If you look at just Transcom now, all three components, since we talked about in the earlier segment, having come from Air Force, Army, and Naval subordinate commands, each had financial management systems, for example. When they became the responsibility of TRANSCOM, and TRANSCOM has financial responsibilities, you can imagine the challenge dealing with separate, very distinct air, land, and sea financial systems. And so right now we've developed a program office that will develop an ERP solution, and I shouldn't say ERP, it is an ERP-like because it's a financial stovepipe, that will lay across all three components for financial management and integrate that data at the TRANSCOM level. It's important because once we prove that we can do this on a TRANSCOM scale, then our intent with the Department of Defense is to migrate that financial management solution throughout the Department of Defense. So it is a start at TRANSCOM for financial management, potentially an overlay ERP solution. We have other systems, Global Transportation Network, which I mentioned earlier, that deal with logistics, but it tends to be more stovepiped and it is information intense about what's traveling in the supply chain. And so I'm hesitant to refer to it as an ERP. It is one that eventually might feed an ERP solution. But financial management is where we're really starting.
Understand. And that was exactly the next question as well. You discussed the financial system. What challenges do you see in integrating the variety of supply chain systems across the various services and domains?
Well, it's not like any other challenge with government or big business, and that is the integration of such a tremendous variety of legacy systems where the organizations have strong ties because of financial investments, personal investment in time and energy to create the system, and then trying to convince the team, this new team of logisticians in my case, who we need to bring to the table to encourage them that what we're talking about is goodness. And the good news is, as we've brought people together, more and more folks are realizing that the greater good is to migrate to a system that serves us all and not lose any of the legacy capabilities, but be able to migrate to a system that makes sense to all logisticians, all across all services, and across all combatant commands, so that we, if you pick up a computer and want to look at logistics data, anybody, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard, can look at the same kind of computer at the same sort of system and get the same data that they need for their individual requirements. We'll get there. It won't be easy.
I was going to say, those are certainly complex challenges. What has been the role of TRANSCOM in Afghanistan and Iraq, and what have been the accompanying management challenges? We'll ask General John Handy of TRANSCOM for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.